just walking around a cyber salon, which is fundamentally becoming one of my favourite things to come down to in London, and that is not bullcrap. I just love the energy and the critical audience at these places. You get a real positive group of people who always bring to the mix. And tonight, more than anything, wearable tech is something that really sort of fascinates me, and where it's all going, especially the artificial side and the wiring in jackets and stuff. Is I don't know how the legacy of that is going to maintain over the years in terms of all the wires and connectors sort of lasting. I'm sitting with Vessel.
Yep.
Who has got incredible shoes on. I'm not sure if they're sprayed himself, but you do comms for Cyber Salon, right? In some indirect way.
Yeah. I'm involved in the kind of central organising committee. I've actually been involved for more than 10 years. Cyber Salon started in 1997, right. Summer of 1997. And it's funny, this is the second wearable event that we've had, the previous one being in, I think, 2000.
Wow.
It will be very, very, very different.
Things have moved on.
Yeah, incredibly. Although, I don't know if you followed CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. A lot of wearable computing is still not very fashionable.
Right.
So.
Well, that's mainly because most of the people who are coming up with the ideas are not sort of fashion-based, and they rush stuff out, I find, a lot. You know, you get a lot of stuff that's cool, but then it's ill-formed, you know?
Yeah, I think the electronics companies feel they have to do something in this area, and I don't think they include people from the fashion industry early enough in the process. So,
yeah. I think they'll be better off doing some kind of blogger outreach and finding out the people who are doing it and maybe pulling them all together and making some sort of little group of those people, events like this, really, so they can come to this as, you know, as part of the brand.
Yeah.
So explain to me what you would do on a day-to-day basis. I mean, what you're working on at the moment that sort of really sparks your interest?
Ooh. Well, at Cyber Salon specifically, I do the kind of political bit more. So, for example, the Snowden revelations, the surveillance Cyber Salon, I created that.
Right.
And otherwise, what I do at Cyber Salon is just help and advise them on the Twitter account, promoting the events and so forth. So,
right.
So everybody on the team, there's some people that's got a bit more of an arts background, some people with more of a technical background. And so we each do create different cyber salons.
Right.
Yeah.
So how has Cyber Salon managed to last this long? Like, what is it? What is the DNA of Cyber Salon? What keeps it going?
I think there's lots of events in London which is about new media or social media or digital media, whatever you want to call it. But they're all very strictly commercial slant. And Cyber Salon is slightly more... we don't try to be too intellectual, but I think we're trying to think behind why are these things happening, and it's not, and also, you know, a lot of reasons why people use things like social media is not because of business reasons. It's because people do it for other reasons, and it's about identity, about self-expression and stuff.
Right.
And a lot of these other events don't really cater, don't talk about those things.
Right.
So I think that's maybe one reason. Another reason is we've always tapped into universities. Maybe that's another reason. And then I don't know if you've met Richard. But he started it, and he's kind of a weird, iconoclastic character.
Really?
And he's kind of been a glue that's held it together in a way.
Yeah.
So you although, although he's not that involved himself anymore.
Right.
Of the actual organising, but he's still like the figurehead.
He was like the founding members,
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Vessel, thanks a lot, and have a really good night. Cheers, man.